It also involved Europeans in a series of wars with indigenous populations, wars that were brutal and one-sided, but nonetheless consumed a great deal of energy and inflicted great losses on the Europeans as well. But to give you some sense of this, in 1898, British-led forces annihilated 20,000 Sudanese in one battle. Here one saw the disproportionate military power and the great advances of European technology. German troops killed 60,000 Herero people in southwest and German southwest Africa, Namibia, between 1904 and 1908, in an attempt to put down an uprising of the Herero. William II, the Emperor of Germany, praised the commander of German forces in German southwest Africa and indeed offered him a medal after a speech in which the commander had talked about the annihilation of the Herero people. British troops would find themselves fighting in Burma, which Britain had annexed in 1886. They had annexed Burma in that year, but it took them 5 years to subdue the Burmese. The Boer War in current South Africa between 1899 and 1902 was a preview of the war decolonization wars of the late 20th century, the mid-20th century, where Britain was involved in a long and very bitter and controversial colonial war. The French faced a similar situation, a 20-year conflict in Indochina, a preview of a later French war and an American one in Indochina as well. French forces were also required almost 2 decades, to pacify the Ivory Coast after its annexation in 1890. The Italians were actually defeated by the Ethiopians in 1896. The Italians had made inroads into Somalia and Eritrea and Ethiopia. But in 1896, the Ethiopians, with 80,000 troops, not only outnumbered the Italians, but also very well equipped, crushed Italian forces at Adowa. Not only did they defeat them, but Italian prisoners of war were castrated. This made it an enormous impact in Italy, and as we will see, would contribute to the Italian determination to crush Ethiopia in the 1930s. It was the first victory of an African state over a European state, and it would certainly send shockwaves back to Europe. So, this new imperialism, this new wave of European expansion between 1880 and the outbreak of the First World War, was quite different than what had come before. It was far more systematic. It was indeed far more brutal. The Europeans brought all sorts of administrative, technological, economic improvements in many areas, but the cost for the indigenous peoples of Africa and Asia were also quite high. As were the costs at home. Imperialism would become part of a domestic political debate that fired passions, that increased tensions domestically, and also would increase tensions between the various European states. If this is what made this new wave of imperialism different from the older European colonialism, how does one explain why it came about? It's one thing to talk about the nature of it, to talk about the course of it. But why did it come when it did? Was it the result of imperial capitalism, an argument made by a number of theorists, Hobson and Lenin, in the early 20th century? Was it the result of strategic considerations? Just exactly how does one explain the timing of this new round? Why did it come about? And second, how did the Europeans justify it? How did they explain it? What was their mission? That is going to be the subject of our next lecture on European imperialism.